cost is at the center of a solid waste discussion in Haynes. And with Fireweed Cosmos and Spruce Tip Gin, a Skagway distillery is set to open in May. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Abby Collins. Those stories and more, up next. The goal of a solid waste working group in Haynes is to draft a management plan for how to deal with the borough's trash. That's what they decided at their first meeting, and they've been working toward that objective for the last few months. But at their latest meeting, the group took a step back to reassess what issues they need to focus on. The biggest factor at play is cost. The working group circled back to one fundamental question.
I'm still trying to figure out, in terms of solid waste, what is the issue and why is this group here?
That's group member Jeremy Stevens. He said the two concerns he's aware of are illegal dumping and whether waste should be a borough utility. Melissa Aronson from Haynes Friends of Recycling said another is how long the landfill will last. Interim borough manager Brad Ryan said one thing he would like to see the group address is whether the cost of disposal would go down if everyone was paying for it. He said cost is likely the reason that some people illegally dump their waste instead of bringing it to the landfill.
I don't get the feeling that the dumping is because there's nowhere to dump it. I get the feeling that it's viewed as free and it's expensive to dump.
Cost was something group members agreed is critical to this discussion. Currently, it's up to residents to dispose of their own waste, and they're charged by pound at the landfill. Assemblymember Margaret Friednauer said she doesn't think that's a good system because cost prohibits some residents from participating.
Solid waste management is not available to people who can't afford it. It's just not. And that, to me, is a problem, that the entire burden needs to be on the borough and on everybody who lives in the borough.
Friednauer said solid waste management is a health and safety issue and should be looked at like a utility. She said she's not advocating for mandatory pickup, but a flat fee that would allow residents to self-haul waste. Residents could then pay extra if they did want pickup. Aronson pushed back on that.
If it goes to a utility, then there's not a benefit for the people who are recycling and composting and keeping their input of waste down, because it becomes a blanket fee for everybody.
Philip Reeves said if cost is the major issue, mandatory pickup is probably not the best idea.
We can pay it, but there's a lot of people here who have a hard time affording to go to the landfill, so raising their cost a good deal so someone can come pick it up is not.
But Sally Garten from Community Waste Solutions said it's her understanding that the more people that are involved in a collection service, the lower rates would be.
It would actually be cheaper to have collection the more people we have on board for collection than it would be to self-haul. You would actually be saving money.
With cost at the center of the conversation, the group decided they need more information about what the price tag would be for different scenarios. Steven suggested issuing an informal RFP to see what the cost would be for different collection and disposal scenarios. For example, a company could calculate what flat rate residents would have to pay to make mandatory pickup feasible.
Why not just issue an informal request for proposals and let firms tell us what it's going to cost? Or not firms, just companies that are in the business.
There were a few hang-ups with that idea, and one came from Ryan.
If you were really going to back it, what are you backing it with? You're putting out an RFP with what funding?
The other is that anyone that wants to collect waste or operate a transfer station needs a permit. There are only two permits allowed in the borough, and Community Waste Solutions currently owns both of them. Steven said he thinks they could still reach out informally to see what costs would be without being backed by funding. An informal RFP or study is still on the table as a possibility, but wasn't decided on at this meeting. Group members are planning to research possible waste management scenarios for their next meeting. Though they have been gathering once a month, the group decided to schedule their next meeting just a week away on February 16th. A family of self-described serial entrepreneurs in Skagway think they've found their final adventure, a craft distillery. After more than a year of paperwork and preparation, Skagway Spirits is set to open this spring. The new business is part of a growing craft distilling industry in Alaska. KHNS's Emily Files has this report.
Bit of an ice cube in there and a little bit of lime. We're in Janilyn Hager's test kitchen, which is really just her kitchen at home. She has a bag of lavender-colored ice cubes she made using fireweed petals.
It just adds a little bit more color.
She pours vodka distilled by her son Lucas into a glass.
So classically, a Cosmo is vodka, cranberry juice, but this is our fireweed hibiscus tea and a little bit of triple sec.
The vodka, triple sec, and fireweed tea make a rose-colored Cosmo. Skagway Spirits will just have gin and vodka to start, so Hager is creating locally sourced teas, bitters, and ice cubes to add variety to the drinks.
We're just trying to look at what can we harvest here that we can then get creative with.
Skagway Spirits will be the first distillery in the gateway to the Klondike, at least in modern times. Janilyn, her husband Gary, and their son Lucas are working together. The Hagers have a good friend who is a distiller in the lower 48, and they've thought about getting into the business for a while. Gary says when he bought an old airplane hangar on Alaska Street and 9th Avenue, the pieces started to come together.
I've always had that in the back of my mind, having a distillery would be a good place for it. So.
More recently, the Hagers were inspired by Port Chilcoot Distillery in Haines. Skagway Spirit's slogan is "Distilling with a Pioneering Spirit." It harkens to Skagway's Gold Rush history. The Hagers have debated how much to use the Gold Rush in their branding.
So much Gold Rush, you know, it's the mandate of the Park Service. And it gets, you know, in a lot of the tours, that's kind of the theme. And so I've been a tour guide in Skagway off and on for years. And I was like, oh, by the time they get to the hangar, they'll be so over it.
They decided to go with a more industrial theme for the distillery and tasting room itself, taking advantage of the look of the airport hangar. But the Hagers did decide to use the iconic picture of Stampeders climbing the infamous golden staircase of the Chilcoot Trail. It will decorate the gin bottles.
When you put it around a bottle, it has a, you know, with a clear spirit and the gold flecks falling off the golden staircase, it's magnificent.
Choosing labels and experimenting with cocktail recipes is the fun part, but Janilyn says the past year has not been easy.
So it's not for the faint of heart. Anybody that wants to go into this business needs to be prepared for, it's a lot of desk work as much as creativity part in the distillery.
One of the challenges came in the form of another potential distillery in Skagway. Shortly after the Hagers filed their license application in late 2015, Haines residents Dan and Christine Turner filed one for a distillery called Alaska Stillman. Alaska law currently allows just one distillery per 3,000 people. It's first come, first serve, giving Skagway Spirits precedence in this case. But representatives from Alaska Stillman have been fighting to stay on the Alcohol Beverage Control Board's radar. Documents from the last few ABC meetings show that Alaska Stillman requested a spot on the board's agenda because they were skeptical Skagway Spirits would actually operate. Phone calls to Alaska Stillman were not returned by deadline for this story. Janilyn Hager says she did not find out about Alaska Stillman's persistence until recently. The ABC board requested the Hagers present documentation proving they intend to use their license. They did that, and now the contention over Skagway's one distillery license seems to be put to an end. The acting director of the Alcohol and Marijuana Control Office says representatives of Alaska Stillman withdrew their application. Here's Hager.
We're a startup business, so you know, it's sort of like writing a script. We think we've got the end of the story, and as you go along, there's a twist and turn that changes the part of the story. So we're going along in the twists and turns.
The Hagers plan to start serving cocktails by May, and they aren't the only craft distillery in the region set to open soon. Amalga Distillery in Juneau is also getting close. That means Southeast Alaska, which had zero distilleries 4 years ago, will soon have three, and there may be more to come. Reporting from Skagway, I'm Emily Files.
For KHNS News, I'm Abby Collins. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.